Blog Talk Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome to your place. Tonight we'll be talking about Do You Know Your Enemy? If you'd like to join in the conversation, just press 1 on your keypad. And now, without further ado, here's Wild Bill.
Hello, everybody. I didn't mean for that song to play quite so long, and I got to where I didn't have internet access, but I wanted to kind of give the gist of who our enemy is, and he looks at this all as a big game, even though his job is to steal, kill, and destroy everything that we have in our life that God wants us to have. And it's, you can read scripture and you can find out that there was a warfare in heaven, and a third of the host was kicked out of heaven and sent down here to earth. And I know I've taught some teenage Sunday school classes, and they were talking about the things with Satan. You know, the very first part where you hear about Satan or temptation was in the Garden of Eden, in the third chapter of Genesis. And we have a snake that is used to tempt Eve, and then she, in turn, shares this information in the fruit with her husband, although I think he was there watching the whole process. And, you know, he could have stepped up at any time and said, hey, you know, we're not supposed to do this. And so I think it was one of those things that, you know, a lot of people try to say it was all woman's fault because she was the one who did it first. But I think that if Adam had done what he was supposed to do, he could have stopped it from happening at all. And I've made the comment before that to me, Satan is like the jokes they make about the dumb blonde, you know, flipping her hair and being ditzy and like, oh, a chicken of the sea, is that chicken or tuna in that can? You know, this sort of thing when you're looking, you know, like a tuna fish. And it's, you know, all he can think is kill, steal, and destroy. That's it. It's just he's so wrapped up into that. If he had taken time to know all the word of God, there's no way that he would have had Jesus crucified on the cross and felt like he had won a victory there. It's just it blows our mind seeing it from this side. How in the world someone that was called the Angel of Light, who was actually involved with leading the worship up in heaven, and I don't know. But one of the things I know from when I was in the military and law enforcement, that it's real important to be able to identify friend or foe. And so a lot of times, we look at things as just what is going on in our lives as just being natural things. But we have to be very aware that whether you're a saint or a sinner, there is a spiritual warfare going on at all times for this world, for the people of this world. And Satan thinks that he's going to win. He has no doubt that he is going to come out of this victorious. And which blows my mind. I can't understand that at all. And some of the things some of the kids in Sunday school used to ask me, they used to ask me questions like, okay, if Satan and one third of the angels are kicked out, so they're actually angels. So, you know, in Hollywood they make this big thing in books about these evil monsters and things like that. And some of the things kids used to ask me was, can angels die? You know, and I used to tell them that I didn't really know, but it's kind of like my mom used to tell me. She brought me into this world, she could take me out. And I'm saying it as a joke, but, you know, Satan, I don't know how they came about, but I know that they are far below what God is. And, you know, they would ask me questions like, well, what time did this take place with this war? And it brought up some interesting conversations with, did this take place during the time after God created man? Was there a jealousy thing there that took place? You know, why was it that Satan ended up coming here with all those fallen angels to this world? And so those are some of the things that we can look at here. And he also, the Bible warns us about being very aware of Satan's devices. And one other thing I'd like to get you to tell me what you think about, the snake in the Garden of Eden. Was that the snake that did that? Was that Satan in the form of a snake that did that? Or was it a serpent that was possessed of Satan that did that? You know, and like I say, when you're working with kids, it's amazing some of the questions that they come up with that just blow your mind. into trying to figure out what in the world, you know, where they're going with things. But there's a lot of things in this world today as far as books, novels, cartoons, movies and things. Because of the spirit of this world, that sometimes you wonder that if some of the things that are being used in literature and things like that, if there's not some truth to all that. And some of the things they were talking about was how that certain cartoon characters and things of fiction have a dual nature, and they had like an inner animal person and everything as to who they were. And it reminds me of the scripture where God talks about he knows the inward man. You know, that's what he looked at instead of just looking at the outward man. And so looking at it that way, they were bringing up things talking about how that, you know, Satan is called a dragon, you know, several places in the Bible. And so I've been told that I go on and on and on these things, so I just wanted to throw some of this out there to get people to come in. I want you to tell me what you feel like about Satan. You know, what is he? You know, other than his function, we know what he wants to do and what he's made his purpose here on earth. What you feel about when you think about Satan and what he's doing here as our enemy. And so, Starla, do we have anybody who's got their hand up?
Yes, we do. Sister Kaiser?
Well, thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Thank you. What a subject. This is an inexhaustible study. When you talk about the devil, Satan, let me just run a few facts concerning him. Because according to the Word of God, Satan is permitted to afflict the righteous, although we don't understand that. And that's, you know, a lot of these scriptures I'm just going to refer to just by the title, you know, like he's permitted. Job chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible said Satan went to the Lord Jesus Christ because Job was considered a perfect man in the East, and the devil had to go visit God Almighty and get permission to afflict Job. And so you know the rest of the story. So Satan has those kind of things done because, in my never-to-be-humble opinion, if I may say that, some people just think they're so holy, they're going to just breeze on through heaven without a scratch, without heartache, without sorrow. The Lord allows these things to us to cleanse us, to purify us, to perfect us, to bring us into his holy calling and what he wants us to do. Satan forever more is our enemy. We're talking about a Satan so vile. He was the, I like to say this way, I believe he was the choir leader in heaven. Everything was created in him and Lucifer, fully perfect. But when he aspired to be over God and to take God down and take his place, he was thrust out of heaven with one-third of the evil angels. So we know that that's his beginning. But I want to just let you know there is an ending to Satan as well. But as long as God gives us breath, and as long as this world is operating as we know it, he is our enemy. He destroys people's faith. How many times have I heard people that have the Holy Ghost say, they've come to me and said things like this, well, the devil told me, Sister Kaiser, that you didn't like me. And I would say, excuse me? Well, the devil told me. I said, well, the Bible says, Jesus said, his word and him bothly, Jesus said, Satan is a liar and he is the father of lies. And you're going to believe a lie the devil told you? You know, I've heard people say, the devil told me I was never going to be healed. The devil said I wouldn't do this. Shut up. Don't even quote what the devil puts in your mind. Just take authority over that and rebuke that, because the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And all these things that Satan does, I mean, everything that he does, he brings humanity under his dominion. He blinds the minds of God's people, and he contends with the saints, and he inspires lying people, lying wonders. And all of these things, I just say, is the malignant, the cancerous work of Satan on humanity. It's so amazing to me how that people really believe the devil more than they believe the Word of God. Now, I know you probably have conversations with people that says, well, I don't have any faith. Let me just tell everybody that's here in this radio program, that's another lie the devil told. If you ever walk into your home and reach around the corner and hit that light switch, you've had faith. You know, so everything you do, if you put a key in the ignition of your vehicle. That was faith, because you believe it's going to start. Everything we do in life is founded on faith. I will say that Satan is trying to knock down people's faith. I want to come on the positive side, because I know that the malignant work of the devil and all his people, tempting people to be disobedient to God's word, he inflicts disease, he opposes the righteous, he even tempted Jesus Christ, he removes all the good seed of the word of God from us, but he is our enemy, and we will prevail according to the word of God. There is a devil, and he is bound for hell, and what he's doing is he's recruiting everybody he can to come join him forever in the flames of hell. But thank God we know about the Holy Ghost, repentance, forgiveness of sins, and that we can live a righteous life and walk uprightly before the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope I haven't taken too long, but the devil is our enemy. But I've got a God that's greater than anything the devil can set on the table.
Thank you, sister. I like what you're saying here, especially when you look at Job. I like what you said there, because a lot of people think that just because Job was perfect, that he was the only person, because only the perfect people are tested. But then you can read through the Bible and you can see where God has allowed Satan. And this is one of the things that just really blew my mind, to realize that Satan had to go before the throne of God, and he still has access there to be an accuser against the brethren. But he has to ask permission before he does things. And he's asking permission of a God that he thinks he's stronger than and he's going to beat. And it just blows my mind that he's like, excuse me, can I do this here? And he's like, well, you got a hedge around him. I can't get through. You know, can you lower that down? But then to realize some of the things that we all go through in this life, we're all going to have those things. But it's just like Job, it's going to work for our good. Maybe not to the way that we would look at it in our eyes, but in God's eyes, for the perfect work that he's doing in us.
And, you know, Job lost 10 children in one day. I mean, in one day. Went to the graveyard 10 times in one day. And all these things, where was God in all of that? It wasn't so much what the devil did, it's what Job did. He was perfect in his thinking. He was perfect in his faith. He was perfect in his love. He was perfect in his desire for God. Even the one that loved him so much and said, oh, this is my sweet baby, blue-eyed darling husband, honey.
Yeah.
She came out with wretchedness in her voice and said, why don't you just go ahead and curse God and die, you wretched man? I like what he said. Woman, you speak like a foolish child. And if you know the rest of the story, as Paul, our late Paul Hart would say, the rest of the story is that in Job's latter days,
did we lose connection there?
Here she is.
Phone just went beep, beep.
You're on.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. As I was saying before, I was so really disconnected. I mean, who knows if people may have jumped in his phone line. But Joe,
he's making Satan mad. He just hung up on you.
Thank God. We got the devil in the phone booth dialing 911. But at the latter end of Job's life, he was still the richest man in the East. He had more, better, greater, and even had as many more children. I mean, you know, God just, everything Satan tries to undo, God just makes it right for us. We are righteous in our living and our thinking. And we can't be judging our brother and our sister. We can't be judging the world. We just be who we are, wherever we are. Now, I will say I've been in places where I felt like I've been in a place where they invited me to come. Then when I got there, they treated me real bad. For one instance, this preacher, he was, in fact, he just deceased about 3 weeks ago, but he was on the general board of the UPC, and he was foreign mission director, and of course, you wouldn't know that because many of those have in the years past. But he saw me at a conference and said, I feel led the Lord for you to come preach revival for us. So long story, I went down there and had revival that Sunday morning, Sunday night. And on Monday, I went to church, came back, and was going into the house, just kind of gently easing in. And I heard this preacher's wife, the pastor's wife, says, no, I am not going to cook her a meal. I didn't invite her. If you want her to eat, you either cook for her or you take her. I'll give her money so she can go, but I am not doing that. And that woman, I preached there a week and a half, tremendous revival, people getting the Holy Ghost, and she was not sociable to me. She stayed somewhere all day long. I stayed in the church most of the day. I got my own food. You know what? I did this. I did sleep that night. But in spite of all of that, you can't just yield and give in. It's not the harder she tried to make me feel unwanted, the more God laid it out. I mean, people coming in, brand new people, had never heard of this, gave Bible studies. They received the Holy Ghost. They were baptized. You know, so when our enemy comes against us, the Bible said, if it comes in, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard against him.
Yeah.
So the reason I always said this, and this is in Revelation, the Bible says, woe to them that are on the earth and those that are in heaven, those that inhabit, because the devil has come down unto you knowing he hath but a short time. The devil knows he's on a short time. He's like a feist puppy on a short leash, and he is raging in this world, and that is Bible prophecy being fulfilled.
Yeah. Now, also in Revelation, where it talks about that, it tells us that we're made overcomers by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb.
Now, you know what, Brother Richard? Let me say this to you, brother. A testimony is not a time just to get there and tell it known about your test. It's not funny. Testimony is a time just to moan, and not in the guise or disguise of people standing up and saying, you know, the devil sat here all day long, bless his name, and I've just been so confused all day, the devil this and devil that, and it gave more praise to the devil than they did the Lord.
Yeah.
Tell, hey, I have been forgiven, I have been healed, I have been filled, and Satan, you are still a low-down, dirty, two-time and cheating, chiseling devil. What did y'all pass
out? I thought we lost you there again for just a second.
No, I was just saying the devil's still the old devil, but God is still God as well. And so I'm glad I'm on the winning side. And if I may, give a shout-out to Sister Rita Gillum if she's on the line, and to give a shout-out to Brother Bill Howell and Preston if they're there. Just want them to know we appreciate them and love them.
Amen. Appreciate you doing that. Darla, do we have anybody else that has anything right now?
No, we don't, but we have Blog Talk Mom.
You want to go ahead and shoot her out
Blog
there?
Blog Talk Mom, do you want to say something?
Hello there.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, my favorite sweet Blog Talk people in the whole world, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm just doing great. You know, I don't know why this popped in my mind, but I was going to go to church one day, and I have had tremendous results in praying for the weather, like when it was raining, and asked God to stop the rain so I could go in the hospital and visit someone, and it would just stop raining. You know, it was through the years I've just had been really blessed with the Lord answering prayer. And I don't know why I got it in my mind this one day. I guess something I was studying, but I walked out on the edge of the porch and it was pouring down rain. And I don't know why I just felt to rebuke the devil. And I mean, I just rebuked the devil and the storm and the whole thing. And I mean, there was the loudest lightning and thunder you have ever heard. My heart, I felt like it stopped. It scared me, but it did stop raining. But it was, I don't know, it was such a lesson to me to not be presumptuous about some things. We can be full of faith. You know, we really can stand absolutely sure against the enemy, but there's a real lesson in not being presumptuous, because I think one place it said in Jude that even the angels don't bring railing accusation against him. And so he is a formidable adversary, but he's a defeated foe. So
he's a defeated foe.
He is certainly defeated. In 1 Peter 5:8-9, it says, be sober, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about. Now, this is a different version. Prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, but we can resist him firm in our faith. I'd like someone to read that in King James, but that says it pretty much. We can resist him, and he'll have to flee from us in terror, is what the Bible says.
Yeah.
When we submit to God, I left that out. Is submitting to God is a big part. And I really admire you, Blog Talk, Wild Bill. What am I supposed to call you every time? Because I know that, you know, you fight a lot of tiredness and being away from home and opposition just in the natural as far as when you're doing a radio program. I did one for years, and it's just difficult to stay in the frame of mind that you can feel like you can be a blessing to people. And through this, been going on 2 years, and Sister Blog Talk Starla, it's awful, isn't it? But you are wonderful. You just, when you're married, I know one of my very favorite preachers of all time came in church one day, and he said, you know, you really have to resist the devil. You really have the devil to fight. And I just slapped the fire out of my son. You know, he said, you know, like you get in a big tussle right in the parking lot, and then you have to come up there and just, you know, try to have a service. And you don't want to be a hypocrite. You don't want to do, but those are very real battles that people have. It's not with a devil walking out there with horns and a pitchfork, but he knows exactly how to push buttons. I feel like he does, so that we can be, if he can ever get us fighting, then he's sort of got our power or our direction, you know, to really be able to. It's sort of like he hides behind each one of us. I know, I think I've told you this with your dad. I would say when we'd get a little bit crossed up, I'd say, Lord, grant him favor with me and grant me favor with him. And God always honored that prayer. Very, very good. So I'll let y'all say something.
I like where you're going with some of this and everything, and it reminds me certain characteristics of Satan. You know, when you go back and look at those different scriptures that's been read, and, you know, when you go back to where we're looking at Job, you know, it talks about where, you know, the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came, and, you know, God asked him, you know, and I'm paraphrasing this here, but you want to read it, it's Job 1, 6, and 7. And, you know, he's like, where'd you come from? And he's like, I've been going, you know, to and fro and up and down in the world, you know, in the earth. And so he can't be everywhere. He's not omnipresent like God. You know, he had to leave the earth to come up here and accuse the saints. Now, I understand time as we know it is not the same as time as far as how the angels and everything have to deal with that. At least I don't believe it's the same. And because you can look in some things in the Bible where it's talking about years and days, and you can tell it's dispensations and different things that's being talked about. But the other thing is, and I don't know for scripture now, I don't believe Satan can read your mind. If we're not murmuring and complaining and shouting it out and speaking it, he can read expression, but you don't really know what's going on inside your mind and inside your heart. He can only see what comes out, what we show him. And I believe that to entertain Satan is when we let the outward things we do go along with the things that he's wanting us to do. When he pushes a button and we respond the way he wants us to do. And that thing where he's like a roaring lion, I don't know if you've ever been in a zoo, but they're just pacing back and forth, back and forth. And I remember one time I was at the zoo in Little Rock, and they got a little bit too close. Some of the meat fell outside the cage, and the guy leaned over with the stick to shove it in further. And before you could blink your eye, that cat that looked like it wasn't moving, I mean, it was like slow motion before, reached out there and grabbed that man by the arm and tried to snatch him up in there. And in just that brief couple of seconds, that man had been bitten on his arm and had deep lacerations from the claw marks there. So, you know, sometimes we look at Satan as like, yeah, you know, he's not really doing much with me right now. And it's kind of like I heard someone say one time, you know, it's funny, when I was single, I didn't have a lot of women come up talking to me, but right after I got married, man, out of the woodwork came all these beautiful women all of a sudden wanting to be around me and everything. And the reason for that is not because, I heard someone say one time, well, it's because you're more content and you're more happy. The reason being is because Satan wants to destroy family. He wants to take away the respect and love that a couple can have in becoming one person. And so he's going to bring temptation in like he never has before when you take that step. Because holy matrimony is holy matrimony. It's something that was designed by God for the people here on this earth. And Satan wants to just anything he wants to take away from us. And I know in my personal life, I have certain things that are no temptation to me whatsoever. And I have some things in my life that I thought were no temptation to me whatsoever. And then out of left field, something that was so bizarre would happen. I mean, something that just, it was, there was no way it should have happened. It was not plausible that this thing could happen. And you're sitting there and you catch yourself in your heart and your mind maybe lusting after something that you know that you shouldn't, you know, wanting to go after something. And then you look back later and you have to, like, wow, where did that come from? You know, I thought I had that buried up under the blood. And so for brothers and sisters, especially new converts, be aware that their enemy is watching you to destroy and take everything that you have. And I said this to someone else the other day, but you get out of the flow of God, you don't just cut off your connection with God, but you're out from underneath the flow where the blessings come out too. And so it's very important that you stay in that flow of what God has in your life. You listen to elders. Last week we were talking about, you know, being wise. Blog Talk Mom talked about with the kids, like, well, what's being wise? But the Bible talks about to be wise. The wise man takes wise counsel of people. You know, it's not someone that just does things on their own. That they look, they listen, they take that word of God and that experience and knowledge from those that are older to go ahead and more experience. Not so much age, because I've seen people that's been living for God a lot longer than me that's younger than myself. But it's the experience and the depth of the walk of the people. And you need to be aware, because Satan wants to destroy everything in your life that pleases God. And it amazed me when I was reading about King David, a man after God's own heart. And we love talking about when he was a boy, how he took that sling and that stone, and he stood up before that giant when the armies of God were afraid. Their faith was gone. They were leaning on their own numbers and who they were. And David, as a boy, went up angry, like, wait, here's our enemy. You know, the army's in battle array. Why are we not going after who our enemy is? And that spiritual warfare is not just to be defensive. We are to be aggressive. We're to be the ones on the attack against Satan. We're to go out there and claim souls in the name of Jesus. We're to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And that's not something easy to do. It's a process that God has to make changes in us by bringing things like he did to Job into our life to purify us and bring us up to a level higher than where we are right now. And we got to seek after that. It's not something that comes naturally. And I think Mom or Sister Kaiser was talking about those scriptures in Revelation. And, you know, one of the things that really jumped out at me was talking about, you know, in the New Testament, you know, the serpent, you know, it was saying that different things were going to happen to the woman, but she was going to bruise his head. That's what was going to happen to the serpent. And in Revelation, it talks about that the woman is going to bruise Satan's head, or the dragon, the head of the dragon, I think it says. And then I got to looking at what the word woman meant there in Revelations, and it's talking about wife or bride. And I thought, wow, whoo, that's the bride of Christ. Even at the end in Revelation, we get to bruise his head. And I believe we should be doing that right now. I don't think that's something talking about at the end of Revelation. I think God's wanting us to realize he wants us to go out and realize there's a spiritual warfare, that there's a real devil out there. And he's going to go out, and he's trying to destroy each and every person. We got a God that says that he don't want anyone to be lost. He died for everyone if they could all be saved. And Satan has the same agenda, just reversed. He wants everyone to lose out on what God has for them in their life. And I'm sorry I kind of went off there a little deeper into that than what I wanted to. Starla, do we have anybody else that has anything? Anybody who wants to share anything on the show? You can go into the chat room, post something there. It's free to do that. You can push 1 on your phone. It raises a little hand. And then Starla will acknowledge you by the last four digits of your phone number. So is there, we got anybody else?
Yes, 8089.
Hello.
I believe it's Bill and Preston.
Hello.
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 Hey, Sister Lively.
Hey.
How are you?
Wonderful. How are you?
I'm good.
Hello again. Hello. Is anybody
Hello.
Out there?
Hey, Bill. I just wanted to thank you for a lot.
Well, we seem to have some sort of technical problem. I don't know if it's on my end.
Bill,
over there where
Preston is speaking.
Because I cannot hear anything. Oh, I didn't finish the thing with David on that where I totally lost my train of thought.
Bill.
David was supposed
Bill.
To count the people that were going
I'm guessing he can't hear.
I guess.
He was wanting to count how many people he had in his army to compare to the armies that he wanted to go against. And God told him not to do it. And the Bible says, I think it was in 1 Corinthians, that Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David
Bill.
To number Israel. And
Bill.
He's like, wow, this is a man after God's
Bill.
Own heart. All the Psalms that having to do with worship that he's wrote, as written, that we get to enjoy so much. And then here he went and did this, and I can't remember exactly how many it was, but, you know, God came and sent an angel to destroy Israel. And I may be wrong on how I'm wording this. And then David repented. And after he repented, there was still consequence. He had a choice of either two or three things to come against God's people. And if I'm not mistaken, there was like 70,000 people that ended up dying. So where he was going to number to make sure he had enough people to go into battle, all of a sudden he's lost 70,000 because he didn't lean on God and was leaning on himself. Are you back with us, Starla?
Yes, Preston was speaking, and apparently you couldn't hear. Can you hear? Can you hear us?
I'm trying to find the scripture on that. They either had the choice of 3 years famine or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foe.
Bill.
I'm trying to read this here.
Bill.
Sister Stella.
I'm guessing our host cannot hear us.
Maybe he just has earwax in him.
Well, we seem to have, so I can hear Starla clicking in the background there. Starla, can you not hear us?
Wow, Bill. Can you hear
us? We definitely have technical difficulties.
Can you hear me, Sister Stella?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. I really didn't catch the beginning of the program. So what really have you been, at first talking about?
It was like cancer something.
I heard say something about cancer when we first,
We're talking about the enemy?
The devil.
Who the enemy really is?
So we know that.
From the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin.
Hello?
Go ahead.
But I realized that life,
cruel.
Life can be cruel.
I know my mom didn't come back.
We can either take a situation in our life and either make it better or make it bitter. You know, it can make us either a bitter person or a better person. And if we allow God to make us better, I believe He will draw us closer, and He'll bring a humbleness in our heart because of that situation. And that's the way I feel that me and Preston are going through right now. It's making me very humble. And I think sometimes God uses a situation like this, to maybe draw us closer to Him,
I agree.
Yes, I believe that too.
Am I on too?
Sister Lively?
Yes, you're on Blog Talk Mom.
I believe that there's nothing that will come your way.
I just say that, we just want to thank you for mentioning our names and your radio station. We just love it. And I feel that, I was in church this one time. We were really worshiping, and I felt like God had a calling. You know Sister Kaiser's old church?
Yes.
Well, I just felt like God was calling me. He really strongly felt and spiritually that God was calling me to get those people out of there and get me in there when I'm older and preach to the people.
That's
and
good.
If Aunt Rita's on here right now, Al, I'd just like to thank her for being with Mommy.
We admire you very much for your strength and for your faith in God and your sweetness. And like your dad said, it's obvious that everything that you've gone through has made you much deeper in spiritual things, and that's wonderful.
Yeah, I believe if Mom was here right now, she would say the same thing, that I'm so proud of you guys, how you're going and through all this, but you're still being faithful, you're still going to church, you're never backsliding, you're still worshiping God. And we didn't, like, for a while, really have, like, prayer, but then God started helping me because I started praying, like, 26 minutes of prayer.
Wow, that's wonderful.
So God's been helping us. I just want to thank God for that.
Darla, that's a sermon right there, isn't it?
I just want to tell Sister Kaiser that I just really
appreciate her.
I appreciate her, and I really admire
and love
her
what
stability
she does.
And her strength that she has in
God.
Because I know she's gone through an awful lot.
Yeah,
you
like
know,
that
but through it all, you know, she's remained faithful, you know. And that shows that a person has that they are stable and they have stability in their life spiritually, you know, when you have to go through things, you know. And she's been strong through it all.
Yeah.
She's allowed God to work it out in her life.
Yeah.
And I just admire her for it.
And I just think her too. Dad, what was that one verse? I remember Mom's favorite verse, but I just can't remember what it was.
I can do all things.
Yeah. I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. I believe ever since that Mom's died, that's what we've been doing. We can do all things through Christ which strengthened me.
Beautiful.
And I believe that's true. Because God's word is the truth. And God's word tells us what we're doing wrong, on, like what not to do and what to do. He raised us in the church. He preached the sermon. He baptized people and gave them the Holy Ghost, filled my mom with it. And saved just a lot of people and sacrificed his life on the cross. And I just want to say he's just a mighty God. And I will forever, forever, everlasting be in his presence. And I just want to thank God for all he's done in my life. He's been a great Lord. And he's the best thing that's ever happened on this earth.
Amen.
Not to be respectful of my mom, but he really is, though, like, a better thing than, like, what my mom happened to ill. And I just hope I'm not, like, talking out of and respect and my dad. And I just want to thank God for all he's done. And amen to all he's done.
Okay, I'll watch it.
Now, I think I'm going to get off now and let Dad talk to you. Bye,
we love you, Sister.
Tell Sister Kaiser I love her and thank her for what she's done.
I certainly will. I'll tell her.
God bless you.
God bless
Bye.
You.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Well, Bill. I always like to listen to you, you know, because you sound like, well, I don't know for sure, but to me it sounds like you've been raised in church. I'm I might be wrong, I don't really know, but you sound like you really know your Bible, you know, and a person has to really study the Word of God, you know, to just come up with, you know, the things that you know out of the Bible. And I admire you for that.
Well, you have to give Blog Talk Mom credit for that down in Mississippi. She taught me to love God's Word at a very young age.
That's
and then
good.
I graduated from a Christian school. So
yes,
I did get a lot of God's Word in my life. Unfortunately, I was one of those few who decided that I had a more perfect way to do things and ran from God for many, many years. And that's one of those things where I really try to encourage young people, and especially new converts in church, because Satan will deceive you, and he will do it in a way to make you believe that you're doing the right thing. He'll put you in positions where you think, man, I'm going to go up here and help win this person to God, and instead of you being a leader to bring them in, you follow them out further than what you were before. And so that's one of the things where I was looking at this with Satan is he knows what he's doing. He's good
oh,
at
yeah.
his job. But I love what Sister Kaiser said about the power of God is that much more than what Satan has. And I thank you for the kind words there and everything, because there's still so much to this that I don't think that any of us really understand until we get before the throne of God, and then it'll all become clear then.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry I kind of interrupted. Something happened there with our show where I couldn't hear anybody.
There was a little problem there for a minute and all that.
I was afraid to hang up and call back in because I didn't know if I hung up if it would disconnect the show. So I was like, what do I do? So I finally went ahead. I got two cell phones out here, called in on one and then called in on the other, and everything's working fine now. So it's probably because I'm out here in California where the sun is still shining. And when I got back here in my sleeper, I kind of get my little cave back here so I can try to concentrate when I can park. And anyway, it was a little over 100 degrees outside. Even with the air conditioner on, it was a little over 80 degrees in the truck. So, but I do appreciate the kind words. Did you have anything else for us that you wanted to share on this?
Do you ever find out whenever you're reading God's Word that there's some things you just don't quite understand and you have to ask God for wisdom to reveal it to you, you know, what this means, what this scripture means?
All the time.
Really?
All the time. Like reading about Satan here, you know, there's several places where it talks about Satan and the devil like it's two different people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, some of that, I don't understand why it's worded that way. It was, you know, maybe it's something to do with his nature or something. I don't really understand. Maybe, you know, someone else can answer that later, but there's things all the time that I feel like I do not have a grasp on God's Word. But I can promise you this, that when you seek after God and ask Him, He'll either send somebody to you or other scriptures will open up things to you in a way that you've never seen before to kind of explain it to you.
I know God says if you lack wisdom to ask for it, right?
Right.
That's pretty much what I had to say, really.
Well, I appreciate you calling in as always. You're one of my favorite people and in my prayers all the time, you and your son both.
I sure
appreciate it. And because even though we're a long way apart, God's arm is not short between us. His power is not weak between us. And the Bible does say that where any two or three come together in His name. You know, it didn't say where it had to be a certain two or three.
I have one more thing to say.
Okay, please. Thank you.
Well, out of all the years, like, I've been a kid, and I know she's listening right now. I just want to thank you, Mom, for being such it's your great mom to me, raising me in the church, helping me by teaching me how to praise the Lord and how to love your mommy forever. Love your mommy. Love you, Mom.
Thank you so much for sharing that with all of us.
You're welcome.
And one of the things I do want to make real clear when we're talking about Satan and his powers, and, you know, I think it was Gabriel that said that he didn't make willing accusations against Satan and everything. Everything you read through Scripture just shows how Satan's power is so limited compared to God. I was reading about where Jesus came ashore, and there was the man that they couldn't hold tight with ropes and things, and he was breaking his fetters. And it was amazed me when I was rereading that, how that the demons brought that man before Jesus and approached him. Jesus didn't have to go to them, and it's like, you know, they knew that it's like a moth drawn to light. They had to go there, and it was like they were saying, you know, please, you know, don't mess with us. Don't bother us, you know. And you know, it was legion. It was many. And I thought, wow, legion against one equals that they got to go out and live with the pigs. You know, because they, you know, they asked, you know, like, you know, can we, you know, you send us to the swine over there, you know. And so when you look at that whole story, you really break it down and look at it as to how much they have to ask permission for everything they do. And God promises that everything will work together for our good. And that is so hard for us to understand when we have bad things happen, when we lose loved ones, or when we have illness come into our body, and when everything goes wrong with work, or finances just don't quite seem to make it. And then, but when you realize that God's in control, and if we let Him be God and lean on Him, He will be God.
What's He doing that for? He's making...
Does anybody else have anything, Starla? Did we miss anybody while I was off in La La Land?
No, but Sister Kaiser is back. Sister Kaiser?
Yes, thank God. I wanted to say this right quickly about I've got the perfect formula to get rid of the devil. And it's straight, from the word of, And before I do that scripture, Sister Lively read a scripture in 1 Peter 5. And 8 in another version, and she mentioned about somebody reading in the King James. The King James version of her scripture is, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. Now, I was preaching one time, and I mentioned that scripture, and I saw some couples looking at each other, and I went right into my little spot. I said, the adversary is not your wife or your husband or your children or your mom or your daddy. The adversary is the devil. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So we know he's working like that in the world today. But listen, here is the scriptural God-given formula for running the devil off. And he will flee from you. The book of James, chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Pause. Because you can't get anything from God until we submit our own opinions, our own ideas, our own desires, our own feelings. But if we will submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will run. He will flee. He will die to dodge. Woo, hallelujah. Thank God. That's what I'm closing down. God bless y'all very much.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. That reminds me, Brother Philip Francis, one of the best Bible teachers I ever sat under. And he had a way of breaking things down. But he said, you know, the Bible, the devil, you know, people say, you know, like you talked about earlier, where people say the devil said this and the devil said that. Nowhere in God's word did it tell us to ever have a running conversation with Satan. His formula was that when Satan comes knocking on your door, open the door and say, Satan, here's Jesus. Because when you put it there, when you move yourself out of the way, and in doing that, you have to be obedient in God's word. Don't carry on that conversation with him. Let that power of God go forth against him, and there's nothing he can do without God's permission. So
that's right.
And we also got to remember, you know, why he's so angry about the things that he sees before him is because it talks about there's several parables in Matthew that Jesus laid out that I think that everyone should read those every so often. But I think it's Matthew 13:42. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And that's the thing, everyone. Have your ears open. Have your spiritual antenna up. keep yourself in position with the things of God. Do not put yourself in a position where Satan can do things in your life. When Satan, sometimes you put yourself there. Satan don't, it's like we go looking for Satan sometimes. There's certain things. If you're an alcoholic, you don't need to be going to the honky-tonk to witness to people. That's just not what you need to do. But you can go to those people that used to see you drinking with them in the honky-tonk, and you can share the change of God in your life. But there's just, you don't put yourself in situations where you're going to be tempted. If you're a womanizer, the last thing you need to be doing is going out there and trying to witness to women that you're attracted to. There's certain things that you have to set up boundaries, because Satan will come in and do things. But also another thing that Philip Francis used to say, we have met the enemy and he is us. And we talked about that the last 2 weeks, but we need to be aware of what is our part, what's God's part, and what Satan is doing, what his devices are, is to kill, steal, and destroy, and just be very aware of what's going on. Be vigilant. And at what you just read, be vigilant.
Yes, yes.
You know, that means that you're on guard. You're on, you know, you're ready for anything. You got your armor on. It's all in place. If it's got a few dents and dings in it and everything, you've kind of done a little prayer restoration in there, or maybe a little extra fasting or something there, or maybe calling out to brothers and sisters who have more wisdom in you to share word with you, and you take advice and you run with it instead of fleeing from it. And those are the things that when Satan comes with his fiery darts and you're prepared, that's where we're going to be purified as gold and be overcomers at the end. And that's what it's all about. None of us want to go to hell with Satan. It was designed for the fallen angels. It was never meant for mankind. And I got a question for you. You know, someone else had asked me this. They were, you know, death. Was there a death angel before sin came into the world? Or was it even an office that could be held by an angel? Is that something that man created because we sinned in the Garden of Eden that happened there? Something to think about. Do we empower new demons being formed by the evilness that what we're seeking in this world today? I just came through Las Vegas today, and you know, they call it Sin City, and they call it Sin City for a reason. It's got all the bright lights and the beautiful buildings and everything, but you see with all the people doing the gambling and people having fun and looking at all the things on the streets and the buffets and restaurants, you see homeless people out there living on the streets that maybe at one time in their life they weren't homeless, but they saw those bright lights and they were drawn in their own lust of the things that they wanted to have, that love of money. And then you look at things right there and you're like, wow, how blessed we are as a country, but also how cursed we are in some of the things that we're now putting before the Almighty God. I'm sure Satan is just so pleased. We're coming up to the end of the show. Does anybody have something else?
Yes,
any comment?
I want to close by this. I want to close by this, Brother Rich.
Okay.
My comment is that Satan, this is just a thought. You ever thought why Satan is on the rampage? Have you ever figured out that Satan is jealous of us Holy Ghost-filled people? Because he has that one promise, but we're the only ones that have the promise of God. He was in heaven with God. He's been debased, and he's never going back to heaven, but we are going to meet the Lord in the air, and we're going to go be with him. So I feel like Satan is on the rampage. He is just jealous of our communion with the Lord. Y'all have a good night.
I think so, too. I really believe that part of the fall of Satan in heaven had to do with the relationship that God had with man in the garden. I think
right.
That flew all over him, and I don't know that for a fact, but that's one of those things I think we'll find out when you go through Scripture. It's just clear that there's some reason why he hates us so much. Of course, we are the jewel of God's eye. We are, if we do what we're supposed to, the bride of Christ. So, you know, maybe he looks at us as a bride that he wanted to have, and so he's going to make sure that he finds a way to spoil that. Did anybody else? I thought I heard Blog Talk Mom there in the background.
Yes.
Do you have some there?
Yes, yes, yes. I want to correct the scripture that I quoted. It's Jude 1:9. It says, yet Michael, or Judges, it says, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuked thee. So
well,
we have to be cautious that when we deal with Satan, to understand that it is the power of God that, and the Holy Ghost, the blood of Jesus Christ, which will be a whole new program, but I did want to fix that. And also, I loved what Bill said, too, about, you know, you told him about it's a constant thing about studying the Word of God and learning new things. And the Bible even says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So that's, like you said, while Bill, that's a constant. And also you mentioned what the words mean, and they mean in the Greek, the devil and Satan, he is the accuser, he is a liar, he is a slanderer, and he deals in all kinds of falsehood and dissension. So we do want to resist him. And this has been a wonderful program. Even you getting off, you were cute as could be. So, new little, everybody had a good time.
Okay. Yeah, I wonder how much of the monologue went longer before Charlotte said, blah, 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 blah. Enough. I'm cutting you off. No more.
you was priceless pulling that one together. That was it. And we all thank you, Charlotte.
Oh. Yeah, I was like, have I got to fill air here? Is the people on recording and listening to this and everybody on the phone is gone? What is going on? And I can hear this little click, click, like Charlotte popping on the keyboard or something. I'm like, well, somebody's still there. Someone answer me, please. And, but there again,
you could hear Preston that, and Bill and Mr. Kai. Everybody was laughing. Just,
can anybody hear me? But that's one of the other things, too, of looking at this thing with Satan. And I really appreciate all the scriptures and everything brought forth on this, because we do need to be aware. And we did use a lot of scripture, but I really want, especially the people in the military that sending me the emails that, you know, just now making a consecration to live for God, and for any of the young brothers and sisters that are listening and everything, it is real important that we realize that it is a real enemy. I mean, it's just like that panther I saw in the zoo where it grabbed that zookeeper that time. I mean, he is real, hell is real, and he wants to, I mean, he wants to take everything from your life. He'll play the blame game, and it's always somebody else's fault. He'll justify as to why the things in your life are okay as to what you're doing, and, you know, he'll use scripture to justify it. He'll use people to justify it, people in church even, to justify things. And you need to be aware that you need to stay focused on the mark, the high calling. You need to stay focused on Jesus. When Peter was out throwing that water and started to sink, it's because he looked away from Jesus. When he looked back to Jesus is when he was back on top of the water. And Joy Bells, I didn't know she called in that. She kills me sometimes. She was talking about if waves are coming your way and getting you down, learn to surf. You know, get on top of the waves. And the way we do that is to keep our mind and our eyes and our focus on Jesus and realize we can make every battle that comes our way a spiritual battle. And when we do that, we may not come out the way we want to come out. The plan may not fall in place that we think should happen to put pieces together, but the Almighty God never fails, not ever. It's like the Bible says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. And so with that, we've ran over the time on the show. Does anybody else have anything else while we're still on? You can still talk.
I lost the switchboard. I mean, there's nothing there.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if you still had anybody left on that was there. So anyway, I want to say thank you to everybody that was there tonight, and we'll be back next week. And God bless all of you. Good night.